Acts chapter 2 this morning, and if you would turn and look at verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Well, that's a good statement, right? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Father, we ask your blessing now upon this portion of Scripture, and may we be encouraged, may we get the doctrinal and the dispensational element of it, lest we be as confused as a termite and a yo-yo. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, there's two things here that are misconstrued and certainly misapplied. Two things. One, it talks about a wind. But was there any wind? No, there was no wind. There was the sound of wind. And the second thing is that there was fire. But there was no fire. It said there were cloven tongues, like as of fire. So there was no wind and there was no fire. Sorry to pop the bubble of the charismatics and Pentecostals, but so be it. And I'll go one step further with that. Our text this morning is a favorite passage for the charismatics and the Pentecostals. Why? Because they love to speak in tongues. And of course, tongues in that sense in the Bible are known languages. Matter of fact, we're told that they, if you would go over just a little further in the chapter, you'll see in verse number 8, it says, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And then list them all. There's no heavenly language here. No unknown tongue. People who are filled with the Holy Ghost certainly do some things, but babbling in an unknown tongue for one's self-edification is not one of them. The book of Ephesians has much to say about the body of Christ and Spirit-filled behavior. When a person is filled with the Spirit, we should expect fruitfulness from them. There are 9 elements to the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 22 and 23 tell us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Therefore, the result of being filled with the Spirit is a fruitful life. And that's what I want to look at here a little bit this morning. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what it says there in the text. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, what happens when a person is filled with the Holy Ghost? Let me just interject this thought. The Holy Ghost is a person. Matter of fact, just we've got a moment. Turn over to John chapter number 16. Did I say 16? I meant 14. Beginning in verse 16. Bible says in verse 16 there, I will pray the Father, this is Jesus speaking, and he shall give you another comforter, clearly indicating that Jesus is a comforter. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're told that the Father is the God of all comfort. And now we know that the Spirit, so we get comfort from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But he said, I'll send another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Notice the capital S there. The Spirit of truth. Well, if you look down at verse 26, it says, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So for anyone that wants to believe that the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are two separate things, they're not. They may be referred to differently, but it's the same individual. And by the way, he is an individual. He's the third person of the Trinity, and he's a person. He's not a life force. You don't get a little bit of him. When you get saved, we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. He moves inside of you. I remember someone saying years ago, might have been my pastor, he said, how can someone as big as God move inside of you and nothing change? That's a good statement. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have drastic, immediate changes. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So people immediately take that and they wrestle it and say, well, see, if you're saved, if you're really saved, then you're completely changed. Well, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. This is a process that we're going through. It's God working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But it's a process. It's not an instantaneous thing. And so it's unfortunate that some people are looking for in essence, a works indicator that someone is actually saved. There should be. I mean, we ought to see things. There ought to be a change in somebody's life. Sadly, there are such things, and the Bible speaks of it, of carnal Christians and materialistic Christians. That's why we're instructed to be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is not getting more of him, but he getting more of us. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying here is that we have a tendency, Christians have a tendency to relegate the Spirit of God's influence on our lives to just maybe certain parts of us, certain times of the day, certain days of the week, when in fact he deserves the run of us 24/7. Amen? And so when someone is filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, there ought to be some things that indicate a fruitful life. Number one is strength. Strength. In Ephesians 3 and verse 16, the Bible said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The inner man is the part that we need to control our lives, to lead our lives. And the Spirit of God in us, notice it's a capital S in the verse. It's not referring to the spirit of man here. It's the Spirit of God working in us and through us in the inner man that provides strength for us. Strength for what? Strength to do anything that we can. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And so strength is vital in the Christian life because, well, Jesus said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I don't know if you've noticed, there's no way of separating the two while we're still walking around here on this planet. We drag around this stinking flesh all the time, and it's always dragging us down. It's an albatross around our neck. It's a lead ball and weight that we're dragging along with us. And I'd like to shed myself of it. I'd like to roll out of bed in the morning and leave that guy in bed. But unfortunately, he gets out right with me, tagging along. Wouldn't it be nice if we could say, go back there. Don't go back, leave me alone today. I'm going to live my day without you today. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. Zechariah 4 and verse 6 says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. If we're going to get something done for the glory of God, then we need the Spirit of God's strength in our lives. That's what, put aside all of this foolishness that people, some people think that you're filled with the Spirit of God if you just say, praise the Lord. If you're just bouncing off the walls and saying religious things, praise Jesus. No, you're probably a goofball. I'm always leery of people that are constantly talking it, right, rather than showing it. And the Spirit of God will show himself mighty on our behalf. Amen? The second thing is sensitivity. sensitivity. In Ephesians 3, in verse 17 to 19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? Love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. God is love, folks. God is love. And we need to be sensitive. The Spirit of God will make us sensitive. Sensitive to what? Well, other people. Sensitive to circumstances that we see. Men have a tendency to not be that sensitive. We leave that up to the women. We're living in a day and an age when there's this promotion where men are instructed to get in touch with their feminine side. I don't have a feminine side. I don't want a feminine side. If I want a feminine side, I'll appeal to my wife. And she does. And that's what makes a healthy marriage so good. Because when we don't have any sense, when we say to a child, stop your crying, the woman wants to come and kiss the boo-boo. Right? But the Spirit of God will help even us dimwits, to be somewhat sensitive. And I'm not talking about being sissified, but just sensitive. Sensitive to what's going on. The Ephesian church was founded on love. In Revelation 2 and verse 4, the Bible said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Everyone misquotes that, and they say they lost it. They didn't lose it. They left it. And if you left it, it shows a willfulness on someone's part that I don't want that anymore. Well, like I said, whatever happened, well, Acts chapter 20, remember Paul is in Acts chapter 20, Paul is saying his farewell to the Ephesians? Well, it says there in verse 29 and 30, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Oh, that's what happened. That's what happened. We need to remain sensitive to spiritual things. And the spiritual things really don't know a whole lot about masculine and feminine. It's a neuter thing. As a matter of fact, the Spirit of God is a neuter term. And so we have to, if we're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, then we're going to demonstrate, we're going to have fruitfulness of strength and sensitivity. And number three, standing. Standing. The Spirit of God allows us to take a firm stand. I was listening to the news this morning, and they were talking about how there's a promotion these days for everyone to just compromise. Just compromise. Let's all get along. Well, there's some things that we ought not to compromise on. I mean, I'll compromise. You know, I compromised on the color of the carpet. I thought we used to have tan carpets, and then we were given these pews that were orange. And we had a gal in the church at the time instructed in art. And so I asked her, I said, "What color should we get?" And she said, "Blue." I said, "Blue? Blue and orange?" And she told me, she said, "It's the complementary color." And I, get out of here. Well, there it is. One thing, some that have been around for a long time, there was one thing that I didn't compromise on, because at some point, if you just leave it up to everyone to make a choice, you're going to have 20 different opinions or more. But you can see that all of the trim in here is what has been commonly referred to as tantalizing tan. It kind of grows on you, doesn't it? But there are some things that we need to be able to take a stand with. It says in Ephesians 4, again, so much of the basis for this Holy Ghost filling is found in the gospel of, or the epistle of the Ephesians. It says in Ephesians 4, in verse 11 to 14, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, that we henceforth, get this, we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's Christianity today. Paul talked about those that were always looking for some new doctrine, some new thing, he said. And so we ought not to be blown about with every wind of doctrine. And we don't. And that's why we don't make any bones about what we believe. We put it out there. Anyone is, we don't take the name Baptist off the sign, because for the most part, the Baptist distinctives can be easily known. We're not the Church of the Holy Ghost, Ministry of Good Feeling, and whatever names they come up with for churches today. This is the Solid Rock. I like that part too. The Solid Rock Bible Baptist Church. It centers around Baptistic beliefs, and it centers around the Bible. And so we stand on that. We're not trying to hoodwink anybody. We're not drawing them in and let them find out 3 years from now what we actually believe. If you want to believe it, it's on the table right in the back. Our core beliefs are right there. We take a stand on that. And I think it's helped us over the years, because a lot of folks, I've never had, believe it or not, never had to have either myself or someone else in the assembly go tell some tongue speaker to shut up. Now, why is that? Do you ever think about that? Why is it that a bunch of dimwits like us, Baptists, why wouldn't some filled with the Holy Ghost, charismatic or Pentecostal, come in here to enlighten us and just spring up in the middle of a service and begin to, you know, hostile shindai, nihai, nihai. Gee, I wonder why. Amazing, amazing. I don't know. No, folks, we take a stand. And that's because of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God helps us in the midst of all adversities, in popular opinions, to take a stand on things. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16:13, stand ye, or watch ye, he said, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. We're not weak, we're not wishy-washy. Hey, I appreciate the diversity of the assembly here, but you know, many churches today, and I don't say this to cast any disparaging remarks upon the female gender, but many churches today are just filled with women. We don't have men anymore. And I got news for you. God didn't call any women to be apostles. He called all the men. Because when a man leads a home, then the family will follow along. When women lead, then, well, we're seeing that all through the country. Women are Don't get me going. I don't have a problem with women. I believe women are intelligent. They have wonderful assets and all, but God didn't put them in a leadership position. End of subject. And so we learn to take a stand on things that matter. A bishop must be the husband of one wife. Today they say, well, that was then. Today it's different. Now it can be the wife of one husband. No. No, the Word of God doesn't say that. And you don't have license to change it. Amen. Filled with the Holy Ghost, we are strengthened, we have sensitivity, we have a standing, and we speak. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the Word of God with boldness. That's what the Spirit, not speaking in some foreign language, but speaking, Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. There's the balance right there. We speak the truth, but we don't do it in a fashion that's going to be divisive. If we do that, then we're wrong. But quite honestly, doctrine is divisive. And so when we stand on what the Word of God says, some people aren't going to like it. Oh, well. He said that speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, there's certain things that the Spirit of God just won't let us do. Matthew 26, verse 73 and 74, after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. See, the way we speak tells whether or not we're filled with the Spirit or we're filled with something else. And the way Peter spoke, they said, well, I don't know. You know, he made sure that they understood that, no, he was one of them. And what happened? The cock crew. That was God telling him, wrong there, Peter. You didn't speak the truth. Matthew 12 and verse 34. How can ye, he said, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Have you ever noticed that the Spirit of God will sometimes give you words to say when you hadn't practiced, you hadn't rehearsed, you found yourself in a situation, and then all of a sudden, the Word of God was just like rolling out of you? Well, it's never going to happen unless you first put it in there. You know, wishful thinking, if you want it another way. But if you've put it in there, if you've read it and you've memorized it and you've studied it, then when it's necessary, God will make sure that it just comes out. I know even for myself, I've had plenty of instances where I've been talking to people, and after the fact, I said, wow, Lord. I was quoting verses that I didn't think of from a long time, hadn't used, but there they were. I guess that would be the Holy Ghost doing that. And then let me also say that being filled with the Holy Ghost will cause us to supply one another's needs. Now, I know that God said that he would supply all our need according to his riches and glory. But we're supposed to take care of one another. We're supposed, you know, the needs that we see from one another, if we can. I helped out Doc this morning. I told him right away. I said, Doc, I watched a commercial the other day. They are now selling duct tape that's wide. I let him know right off the bat. See, I'm trying to supply his need there. Wasn't that nice of me? I don't blame you. In Ephesians 4 in verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're all helping one another. We all have something to contribute, and we should. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 13 and 14. For I mean not that other men be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. That's how equality occurs. People taking care of people. Romans 12, 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Ephesians 4, 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his own hands the thing which is good, watch this, that he may have to give to him that needeth. One of the reasons why we work and not only provide for ourselves, but maybe we'd have a little extra to provide for somebody else when they needed it. Let me move on. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you got something to sing about. Amen. Singing. Ephesians 5 and verse 18 and 19. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what comes out. That's what the Spirit of God wants to sing inside. He's not singing inside, you say, I have a hard day's night.
Working like a dog.
A stairway to heaven or something like that, stairway to hell. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, Paul said, I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. You can always tell when someone is singing in the Spirit. It comes out. It just does. Colossians 3:16 said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The psalmist said, and of course we know how many psalms revolve around singing and, well, it's a songbook, right? So there's a lot of singing taking place there. I'd like to know how they sang, you know, the tune. You know, we could name that tune. But in Psalm 95 in verse 1 and 2, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. The Spirit of God, think about it. The Spirit of God can't help inside of us, but to burst out in song. Got something to sing about. And then finally, let me say, well, not finally, I got one more. There ought to be satisfaction when you're filled with the Spirit of God. It kind of dispels a lot of the other, you know, what would we call it? Lust. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks for all things. You know, I forget who said it. Over the years, you hear all these quotes and everything. After a while, they get all jumbled up in your head. But he had been robbed, and he was recounting the episode. And he said, I thank God that it was me that was robbed and not me that robbed. And he went down a whole list of things, and I was thankful that even though they took what I had, it wasn't very much. I mean, That's the satisfaction in all things. That even with negative things in our lives, we can still be grateful that it wasn't worse. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, Paul said, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You think that comes from our flesh? Not bloody likely. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And Hebrews 13 and verse number 5, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Why? He said, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If God be for us, who can be against us? Number 8, submission. If the Spirit of God is really filling us and our lives are being fruitful because of it, we'll have no difficulty submitting. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, each one, we're supposed to esteem others better than ourselves. How can you do that? Only the Spirit of God. Because as far as the world is concerned, as far as our flesh is concerned, it's me, myself, and I. You got to take care of number one, you know. Not when you're filled with the Spirit. James 4 and verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Submit yourselves, Peter said in 1 Peter 2:13, to every ordinance, you'll love this one. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. Now, here's where we draw the line. Peter said in the book of Acts, he said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so if a law comes along, and people talk about abortion, you know, well, unfortunately, folks, it's the law of the land. It stinks. It's wicked as hell. I hate it. But it's the law of the land. Now, am I required to have one? Well, not me. No, it's not being forced upon me. And so I don't have to go stand in front of an abortion clinic with a sign. I don't, and I won't, because you're wasting your time. Not to mention the fact that they've already passed a law that if you do that, they'll throw you in jail. So the point simply being this, we have to be willing to submit to the laws. If, you know, like, pay your stinking taxes. You know, how many here like to pay their taxes? I have to go in a week or so and sit down and do that nasty thing. I generally don't go out of there cheering. Because what the church gives me, there's no taxes taken out. So, you know how like when you have a job and they take money out of your pay? That's a good thing. No, really, it's a good thing. Because at the end of the year, when you get your W-2 and all of a sudden you realize, oh, look what I paid in. Yeah, but some of you get back thousands and thousands of dollars. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. But chumps like me, I mean, people like me, we sit there like, oh, Jack, what's it going to be? And then we get told. The only thing that's helped us over the years is that when we retired, that our Social Security, I have, and Kathy has, the most amount of money that they can take out or that they will take out, they take out. So that's where the money goes there. And I say, well, you could pay in quarterly. Yeah, I know. How often do you pay in quarterly? Yeah, right. We got other things to do with our money. Well, like I'm saying, I don't like it, but I submit to it. I've had guys that have come to me over the years and they've said, you know, taxes are not for us. That's illegal. So really? Yes. And they have tons of papers to prove it and all that. And I've seen some of these guys over the years. I work in a federal system down there, so I've seen the guys that have refused to pay their taxes. And you know what? They spend a lot of time down in jails and prisons around the country. You're not going to win. You know, you can fight them all you want. But my attitude was, you know what, folks? God has called me to preach the gospel. Now, if taxes are illegal and they ought not to be paid and everything, I'll let somebody else fight that fight. But that's not my fight. My fight is to preach the gospel. And so if you know anybody that can get that fixed for us, let us know. I watched just one quick little thing. I watched an episode of Little House on the Prairie where they had, and this goes back to like, that's around 1890. And so at that time, they were saying, they were having taxes. People, all the farms were being taxed and everything. They thought it was a terrible thing. And they're all standing in line waiting to see the tax adjuster or whatever it was. And while they were standing out there in the line, one guy said to another, he said, "There'll probably come a day when they'll tax our income." And the other one said, "Well, that'll never happen." Yes, we've come a long way, baby. Are you filled? Are you filled this morning? Are you fruitful? Or are you just running on fleshly fumes? Philippians 1 and verse 10 and 11 says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Our text says this morning, and it's true, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to, and if we're filled with the Holy Ghost, and we should be, we ought to show it. It ought to be visible in our lives. Amen.